What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Howard Nunley. How you doing, man?
What's up, Sam? I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be here.
This Hell is yeah. exciting. Awesome. And for those who don't know, he is the drummer for L. Langley, and we're going to learn a lot about Howard today. Let's get to know him a bit. So I guess we might as well start out from the beginning, man, just so people get to know you a bit. When did you first start playing? Was it always the drums? Was it anything else at first, or how'd that start for you?
Man, yeah, right off the bat, it was drums for me. It's not what I set out to do. I set out to play guitar initially because, you know, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. And, you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, man, the guys in the band are the coolest people in the world. Like, that's what I want to be. And I don't remember exactly, but I wanted to play guitar. I got a drum set for Christmas, which is shocking that parents would, without asking, buy their kid the loudest instrument in the world. But I guess they saw something in me. It was really growing up in church. That's where I learned how to play with other musicians, how to, you know, play in real life settings. It's not just like me sitting in my room banging away, you know. It's like making music. So it was really growing up in church. That's where that started for me.
I got you. It's funny you say that you first wanted to play guitar. When I was in going off that a bit, a little personal story. I was in band in middle school, and I wanted to play the trumpet, and I just sucked at it.
Oh, shoot.
So the band teacher's like, how about you go to the snare drum? So that kind of – we cut to the term dropout instrument is what they called it for the drums, which is kind of funny.
Bro, that's hilarious. I mean, I'm a college dropout, you know, so I can attest. If you play drums, you have a higher likelihood of dropping out.
Well, I didn't even go, so.
Oh, hey, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah, good I guess. You. I guess, but hell yeah, man. So, when you started playing, was there a certain time where you decided you wanted to make a career out of it? Did it come kind of as a surprise, or were you always setting it out to do it that way?
Man, as a kid, I always knew I wanted to do something in music, but playing drums professionally, you know, I had no idea how to do that. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd have to start a band and just hope it takes off, you know? But initially, this is what I went to college for. I went to college for 2 weeks, and then I was out. But I was initially studying audio engineering.
Okay.
And dropped out. That didn't work out. But, you know, to me, audio engineering seemed like something I could do to where I didn't have to start a band, something, you know, I could go work in a studio somewhere. But it wasn't until I took a trip to Nashville in 2019, right after I dropped out of college, and I met some musicians that were doing exactly what I wanted to do my whole life. I'd just never seen it before. You know, I'd never met anybody that was strictly playing drums for an artist. They weren't the face. They weren't the band. They were just a hired gun, you know, and that was the first time that it clicked in my head. Oh, you can actually do this.
Yeah.
It was meeting people, getting to see people doing what I'd always wanted to do. So drums, you know, playing drums professionally was always the goal. I just didn't know how to do it until the first trip I took to Nashville.
I got you.
Before I'd moved.
Yeah. What's your opinion on, I feel like, nowadays, at least from like a music fan standpoint, coming from me, like I feel like most acts, whether it be in like the pop world or, you know, the country world, whatever you want to, not I think more so in the rock world, it's like band centric still, kind of. But I feel like, you know, looking back at like even like 70s, 80s, even the 90s, early 2000s, like I feel like the band aspect, or like you're kind of talking about it, each person had kind of a presence, like a personality in it. Do you think that has gone away a bit, where it's more like the main act with the, like you said, like the hired guns or whoever, whatever you'd want to call them. Do you kind of feel that at all, or do you have a completely different outlook on that?
Man, that's a great question. You know, the age of the band, mm-hmm. I feel like is mostly gone.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what you see these days is solo acts, just a single artist. But I mean, you know, you got, when you think of bands, you know, right now you've got, I mean, this is, you know, I know you got to be pretty in the rock world yourself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've got, what's the band right now? She's a female singer. She's got like this great scream.
Oh man. Yeah. Damn it. I can't remember the name. Too into them, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. It's escaping me.
Yeah.
But, man, in the rock world, the band thing is still alive, but I mean, you don't see that a lot in country. You don't see that a lot in pop. Even the boy band mm-hmm. thing has died off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like the NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, One Direction, it's kind of gone.
Yeah.
And I do think there's something really special about bands, you know, when everybody's an equal player and has equal say in what's happening on the records, what's happening in the show. Granted, I mean, typically somebody is the lead.
Yeah.
You know, you have like Paramore. I mean, Paramore is in a lot of ways Hayley Williams,
yeah.
You know, she is the face. You get the sense she has the biggest role there.
Right.
But, man, I'm with you. I see that kind of dying out on the tail end.
Yeah.
It's
just kind of weird because, like, I don't know what the cause of that is. Like, I don't know if it just has to do with, I don't know, like, the way social media is and you have, like, people's different, like, profiles blowing up more than others, maybe. I don't know. It's just kind of a strange thing to watch happen, but I guess as long as it works out, you know, who cares?
Yeah, as long as it works out. But I mean, I do think there is something lost in that. I mean, most of the music that inspired me most growing up is bands.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, I feel like most of the best players in the world usually aren't band guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, you take, like, my favorite drummer of all time is Steve Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jordan played on a lot of the early, well, kind of John Mayer stuff, you know, Continuum, Battle Studies, John Mayer Trio, all that. You know, somebody like him, a lot of these studio guys are usually, like, upper echelon. But then you have, you know, like, Linkin Park. Linkin Park was one of my favorite bands of all time growing up.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Linkin Park's drummer, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of mid, in my opinion. But it works. It works in the band setting. That's kind of what's lost to me is, even if it's not the best player in the world, somehow if you get this mixture of personalities, and they just work well together, there's something there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Linkin Park. Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Nick Fleetwood, you know, he's got such an interesting, specific thing, and it really only works in the context of Fleetwood Mac.
Exactly.
But it's magic. It's special. So I think that is a lost thing.
Mm-hmm.
These days, yeah.
And I'm sure, like, you probably felt it as you progressed and got older and, like, more experienced in your instrument, is that, though, like you said, those studio musicians, like, going back to, like, the Wrecking Crew, all them guys, it's like those are the top dogs, and, like, a lot of people don't even know their names, and they don't realize that they played on all their favorite records, and it's interesting, exactly. Like, when you finally learn about that.
Yeah, I mean, like Jeff Porcaro, you know.
Yeah, fantastic.
I mean, all, you know, so many of our favorite records. Usually, I mean, sometimes from bands, but I mean, from big solo acts, big pop acts, mm-hmm. and all that. It's these crazy skilled musicians that you don't know their name, but they're like, they leave this imprint on music like forever. Yeah. You know?
Amen, man. But
that's my thing that I want to get to one day.
For sure, man.
That's where I'd love to be, you know?
Yeah. So I guess let's go back to when you moved to Nashville first. What made you want to do that? What was your first initial push to move to Nashville and pursue this?
So after I took one trip to Nashville post high school, I like I mentioned earlier, met some guys that were doing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, Nashville was the last place that I ever thought I was going to live.
Yeah,
you know, I figured I would have seen myself maybe in LA, New York, something mm-hmm. like that. So I grew up in Missouri.
Yep.
You know, so Tennessee, Missouri, there's a crossover there. It's similar vibes.
For sure.
I wanted to totally get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Midwest or South kind of area.
Right.
But one of the musicians that I met, he was like, "Hey, man, so my roommate's moving out. And I know you're not probably big on the Nashville thing, but just putting it out there, I think you should come move in and pursue playing drums." And this is right after I'd dropped out of college. I had nothing going on. So to me, I just saw that as God opening a door.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is as obvious as it can be. Like, hey, I literally have a place for you to live that's affordable. It's a great place. And that was really it for me. It kind of just took something being like laid out right in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
And so I just took that.
Yeah. I feel like that's cause I, that's like my favorite thing to ask. Like you got, like you Nashville musicians is like, cause like just a big move like that to a city that seems super intimidating just to dive into. It's just like you said, like having it laid out and knowing someone and having a plan initially, like that sounds so much better than like some of these guys say they just dive into it, which is like nuts to me. Like I'm not a big risk taker, but like it seems like you have to be a risk taker to really take that step forward, you know?
Man, yeah, to not know anybody.
Yeah.
In a, like nobody at all in a city and just dive in. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to know a good number of people here going in. So I grew up as a kid taking some trips to Nashville. I toured when I was younger. That's a whole other thing. You know, so I had some connections.
Yeah.
You know, leaving my family, coming here. I wasn't just totally alone. I at least mm-hmm. knew a few people, but big props to anybody who's moved somewhere cold turkey, knowing nobody and made something out of it.
Right. So when you first moved there, who were you playing with when you first got there and like up until you got with Ella?
So when I first moved to Nashville, I was playing with a really, really good friend of mine. His name is Grant Landis.
Okay.
He's in the pop R&B space. And for a while I was playing with Olivia Evans, who is an incredible singer. I love her to death. And I was with Raina Roberts for a little bit. Kind of just jumping around, did some different things here and there. I mean, obviously, you know, COVID happened, big gap of no touring, nothing.
Yeah.
But I got with Ella in 2022. So just over 2 years ago. And that's been the most consistent touring gig that I've had and my favorite thing I've ever done musically.
That's awesome. And hearing just from like Nick and Matt, who you probably know them and they run Raise Rowdy and everything, just mm-hmm. hearing who have been around like Ella and like that crew that she kind of was hanging with like before she hit her big big jump too, it seems like you guys were like suit like the camaraderie was like through the roof, always picking each other up, helping each other creatively, all that. So, like, that had to have been, like, such a positive thing to get involved with, like, a group of musicians in that way.
Man, it's – I've never experienced anything like it. Mm-hmm. I really never have. You know, stepping into playing with Ella, it's taken my bar for players and raised it up.
Great.
A number of notches. So I'm fortunate enough to, you know, to be in a band with some of, well, I think are the best players in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Ben Flanders is our lead guitarist and MD, and Rye Jackson is on bass and harmonies. Just incredible musicians, incredible people. And then Ella, she's my favorite songwriter in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being surrounded by people that challenge me and that I respect, you know, it's a game changer. It makes you fall in love with what you're doing even more. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we all bust each other's balls all the time. It's like, it's like a family dynamic too.
And yeah,
we've seen each other go through breakups, just all kinds of stuff. And, yeah, it brings us closer. And so I love everybody out there. I really do.
That's awesome, man. And it's, well, Ella and you guys have had a great couple years now, like 2023, 2024, it seemed like you had a real good spike and you guys are doing great with that. But like when you do have those low points, which you kind of hit it on there, when you have like a good group of people around you, is there anything like that you personally do to like keep going, whether it's on the road and it's tough or like, I don't know, maybe you're homesick, something like that. Is there like certain things that just keep you going?
Yeah, there sure are. And I'm still figuring that out as life goes on.
Yeah.
Still kind of constantly reevaluating what are the things that anchor me down and keep me grounded. One of the biggest ones for me is just like having faith. For me, like as a Christian, that's always been so important, but just having a mindset of faith in something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
Is that's always carried me through, you know. And going to the gym consistently, that's another big one. Just moving your body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, one of the biggest things is going to the movies.
Oh, the big film guy.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things in the world.
I like just, that Pulp Fiction poster behind you. I noticed that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, I have a Pulp Fiction tattoo as well. I don't know if you can see it here.
Oh,
it
might
not,
nice.
In the video, it might not show up, but Samuel Jackson. Just watching movies, going to the movies helps me to just disconnect.
Yeah.
Enter another world, kind of forget about everything else for a couple hours. And I just feel refreshed after that. And like I can have new things to think about or new influences how I play.
Right. Yeah.
Just seeing how dedicated like actors are to their role, how dedicated, you know, I mean, the people who do set design, costuming, directors, the whole thing. There's like something so inspiring about that to me.
Yeah. And it is kind of like, there is a connect there with like the movie aspect and the music aspect, like you said, because there's so many moving pieces that come together, like whether it's like your live show, like there's so many things that come together to make it great and to make it enjoyable to other fans. But it's funny because like I've always been a big proponent on going to the movies by yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. That's like my favorite thing to do, honestly.
Dude, that's me. I do that all the time. Yeah, like one of my favorite tour moments ever was we were playing in Anaheim at the, I think it was the House of Blues there, and we're doing two nights. So the first night we had there, we just hang, do whatever. They'd re-released all the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies.
Oh wow!
In theaters. And so I took this like 30-minute Uber just like me and my, this little tray of food that I had and like a drink, just taking this 30-minute Uber. It was like midnight, and I showed up like 20 minutes late to Spider-Man 3, and I just got in there. That was like one of my favorite little tour moments for some reason. It was just...
It's hard to beat like Spider-Man 3.
Dude, I know. People give it a hard time, but I think it's great.
Yeah, I think people just are starting to appreciate it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So one more movie question then, because this is I'm curious about this now. Soundtrack. What's the best soundtrack or your favorite soundtrack from any movie?
Like you soundtrack? Had to pick one. Or,
like not score, more just like songs, like soundtrack, not really a score. Or if you have a score that's your favorite, that too. Hmm. If you had to choose one movie, what would it be?
Man, that's a really good one. First one that comes to mind. I got two answers to this.
That's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna go back to Spider-Man.
Okay.
Because just as a kid, when I saw Spider-Man 2 in theaters, and I heard like the song that plays during the end credits is "Vindicated" by Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah.
And I just remember being there as a kid, and like I saw this movie that I loved, and then this song that I loved, and just like how those meshed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my head, I remember that's one of the first times that I fell in love with music.
Yeah.
I was like, however I feel right now, like I want to figure this out.
Yeah.
And do a deep dive into it. So I'm always going to have a soft spot for the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack. That's how I got into all kinds of rock. I mean, like Taking Back Sunday has a song on there. Train has a song on there. Switchfoot has a song on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of my all-time favorites.
Man, that's a good one. I forgot about all those.
Yeah, and then Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is a great soundtrack. All those, I think it's Kendrick Lamar produced the whole thing.
Yeah, that was a great album, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think all those songs are so good.
Yeah. I'm a big Dazed and Confused fan. That'll always be number one for me. With the
nice.
This classic rock, 70s stuff. Like, it's hard to beat
that.
That's
awesome. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
But anyway, back to the music stuff.
That was a good little sidetrack.
Yeah, I'm a movie dork too, dude. I love
dude,
that
that's
shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But what I was going to ask you earlier, when you went through those bands before you got to Ella, was it like hard to gel with whenever you moved on to a new one, like right away? How long did it take you to really mesh and gel with the, like with it being new band members, new styles of music even? Like, was it hard to gel at first when you first did that?
When I first did that with Ella or just in general?
In general, as you went on and progressed through the bands you were in, like, did it get any easier to really fit in and just drop in and play?
Yes, it did get easier over time. You know, because I grew up playing a lot of worship music growing up. And then I played a lot of pop music growing up as well. And then like some rap, hip hop stuff. And hopping around different genres, you learn to take away something from each of them.
Yeah.
Whether that's like as a drummer, your posture, there's almost like a different posture you adopt when you're playing pop versus country versus rock. Like to me, that's so much of it is how you're holding yourself, your body positioning. And then playing with other players and other bands, you take away something from each of them as well. Like, I can look back and think of when I was playing with Olivia Evans, her brother, who's also an awesome guitar player. His name's Avery. I remember playing with him, and he just hearing how he played, it got me so into specifically like some 70s music that I'd never delved into before. You know, different players that you're with, you take away different inspirations, all kinds of things. And so it does get easier over time to sit in and hop around with different players. And I think that's probably a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're ever perfect
right.
at that. Like there's probably always something you can take away from different bands, different players as time goes on.
Yeah. And even kind of how you pointed out there, like when you like your posture and stuff, it's like, I feel like it also would help you with your like actual playing, like personally, not just like learning to play with other people, but your own playing. Like something that I struggled with for a long time was just trying not to get tired behind the kit. You know what I mean? Mm. Like I feel like there's a lot of things that if you don't nip in the bud earlier when you play drums, like it could get away from you. And you don't realize it's such a problem until it's like, oh, well, that's why I'm dragging. That's why I'm sweating my ass off and I've only played two songs, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything. Is there anything that kind of stuck out to you like that as you played like through the years?
Dude, absolutely. What you're talking about right now, I think about pretty often, which is being stuck in your own ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, especially. Okay. How old were you when you started playing?
I started playing when I was, I think, 11. So now around 15 years I've been playing. Just like as a hobby. Okay. I'm not in like a band or anything.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, I wasn't much younger. I was like 8 when I started playing. Mm-hmm. But the thought of, like if I look back, I'm like, dang, this, like my career, this thing that I do now, like I really entrusted an 8-year-old version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
To learn all this, which is kind of crazy to think about from that perspective. And there's so many little things that I did back then that without even knowing, I find myself over the years watching somebody else play. And I'm like, how are they able to do this? But I'm not. Like this little weird bad habit that I formed. At what point when I was a kid did I start doing this? And mm-hmm. how can I track that back and try to like nip that in the bud, like you said?
Yeah.
So man, there's all kinds of things that I've looked back at over time, and it's usually something about form mm-hmm. or even just the way that I think about something. You know, one recently is I've been having the past maybe year or so, some wrist pain.
Okay.
And what I found is that's coming from just this slight incorrect way that I'm hitting
striking.
Rim shots.
Okay.
And so that's something I've had to take a look into. Mm-hmm. Is okay. I need to pay extra attention to like holding my wrist in and hitting in a way that's not gonna cause extra tension on any tendons or anything.
Yeah.
You know, there, so yeah, there's, to answer your question, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's like funny that I find over time.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because a while back I had, Tim Alexander on. He's the drummer from Primus, and he was telling me about the same exact thing you just did. And just like, cause he's older guy, you know, Primus has been around for a long time. And he said like, literally it comes down to, I think it was his wrist, kind of how you were talking about. And like it took like a little bit of time just to change how he like struck the drum, and like it was fixed. It's just kind of funny how something so little that you deal with, and you're like, man, I don't know how to change this. Like, just got to look into it a bit and like, you know, adjust a bit. And that's what separates professionals. You know what I mean? Like if you could truly adapt and figure out a way to help yourself and help your playing, I mean, it says something about that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, no, absolutely. Again, I feel like that's the theme of what I've been talking about, is I feel like it's going to be a lifelong journey
mm-hmm.
of breaking down little things that I can improve on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Awesome. So how would you describe your live show? I love asking bands this, especially like drummers and people who aren't like up front, you know, at the stage. How would you describe an Ella Langley live show?
From my point of view?
Yeah, sure. Any point of view.
I think about this a lot, that I wish I could watch our show,
mm-hmm.
you know, because realistically, I have no idea what it looks like from out there, other than if I see videos or something. But to be a live audience member, like, I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But from my point of view, there's drama,
mm-hmm.
and energy and passion.
Yeah.
I think those are the words I would choose, because, you know, from where I am, I get to watch everybody else on stage just from direct center. And, you know, Ella she's a badass performer. Mm-hmm. She really is. And seeing her growth in that way over the past couple of years with all of her movements.
Yeah.
She really, it's like when she's on stage, she transforms and mm-hmm. takes on all of her music, like with her body language, which is so cool. And then I look over and I get to see Ben, and he's like the most energetic guitar player that I know. You know, seeing all the faces he makes at me and stuff. And him and I interact a lot on stage.
Yeah.
He'll come over to me and we'll like mess with each other, stuff like that. And there's another word I'd use is there's a lot of camaraderie on stage.
Yeah.
I get to watch Ben and Rye walk up to each other in the middle and mess with each other. Like, Rye will go like grab on Ben's whammy bar. He's playing, just like messing around with it. And I feel like all of our relationships in real life, you can see it translate on the stage.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably what makes it such authentic. A special thing. Yeah. It's authentic. It feels mm-hmm. like we're all there for the same reason. You know?
That's awesome, man. So have you had that oh shit moment yet, where you're like, wow, I'm like, that just happened, or like, this is actually working? Anything like that ever crossed your mind so far?
Yes, I would say most of those have happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
For one of my, we've gotten to play some bucket list venues this year. Got to play Red Rocks.
Man.
Earlier this year, when we were on the Riley Green tour, and you know, that's a dream to play there. So that was incredible. We've knocked off some bucket list things, but then I would say the past month has been the biggest shift to where, so we're on a headline tour right now.
Yeah.
It's called the Hungover Tour, and it's all club-sized rooms. Yep. And so we went from, you know, I'd see people singing songs here and there, and it was growing over time. But then the mm-hmm. past month after the headline tour started, it went from like this to just like this.
Yeah.
Of everybody singing every song. And I've had that like, oh shit, this is changing.
Yeah.
This is really, really taking off.
Yeah.
So and to be able to see from a couple years ago to now, with like Ella's growth specifically, is really, really special.
Yeah, man. And I think I read it right, but like when I was checking out all the dates, dude, aren't like most of them sold out? Like they aren't a lot of those dates all sold out and everything? Like, it was pretty crazy to see.
Yeah, I think almost all of them are.
That's what I thought. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, dude, it's been crazy. And I feel like it's just, I mean, this tour is really just getting started too.
Yeah.
Playing some of these sold out ones, it hits different, like at the heart.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Yeah. So is there something that sticks out in your head that, whether it be like on tour, the headline tour, the Riley Green tour, whatever, in the past year or so, that is there something that you've learned the most that you were like, that like kind of changed the way you look at things? Anything like a big learning point you've had?
Hmm. big learning point. And I would say a big one for me would be the importance of backups. Having backups of things. Because you learn the hard way.
Oh,
whenever,
man.
You know, you're like,
got any horror
playing.
Stories?
I will say, luckily, I keep something with me that could save me in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I haven't run into any absolute horror stories with myself yet. I mean, earlier this year on the Riley tour, this is the first time this has happened to me. The bottom head on my snare busted.
Oof.
And like to mid song, but I always play with a side snare.
Yeah.
It's just a different tone, you know? So I swapped to that for a little bit and then just went in my talk back. I was like, hey, I need you guys to stall for a minute. Got to swap snares. And so then I go pull out my backup and luckily we're good to go. Got it figured out. But I mean, it's just seeing little things here and there that I'm like, this thing is definitely going to break soon. So like I got to figure something out just in case.
Yeah. And you can't just put it off. Like you just have it sitting in your living room. It's like, I got to play the next day. And then the day after that with this thing, we got to make sure this is going good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Awesome. And like we were talking about that, first off, that album was great. I love that Hungover, fantastic album. And just seeing the, like you were talking about the growth, like the fan growth and people singing the songs back to you, that has to just feel so special to you guys. And like, a feeling of like hard work paying off and seeing results, I guess, because it is the music business and being involved in that just seems like sometimes it seems like from an outsider standpoint, a lot more lows than highs. So once you finally start getting those positive things that are so plainly positive and you're just like, wow, this is like a blessing, a great thing to happen. That has to motivate you. That has to keep you going. So it's really cool to see you guys really, you know, shoot off from there, man.
Man, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank man. You. And, Howard, man, thanks for hopping on. This was a lot of fun getting to talk to you. I love having drummers on because I can nerd out with them for a bit. And, like, I don't know how interesting that'd be to other people, but fuck it, who cares?
This is for us.
Yeah,
this
man.
Is, this
yeah.
is for us.
Exactly, dude. So, I guess before we head out, got any plugs? I know obviously you could hit on some tour dates and stuff too coming up, but any socials, anything you want to drop, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man, absolutely. The place that you can find me the most active is Instagram. Yep. And my Instagram is just Howard Nunley. It's my name, HOWARD. N is in Nancy, UNNELLY. That's where I keep most up to date with everything I got going on. And I will say one fun thing I got going on, this will be the first time I've said this publicly, is I'm officially a Pisces artist.
Oh,
Pisces
shit.
Symbols.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, I actually just, that became official today.
Wow.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, super excited about that. So.
Great brand. Man. Great brand of symbols, for sure.
My favorite.
Shout out Peisty.
Shout out Peisty, big time. Yeah,
you're going to have to start doing that now on these interviews. You got to shout them out every single time.
Every time.
But, dude, thanks a lot, Howard. And everyone, check him out. Check out Ella Langley. Go see his show. I'm going to be at the Lexington show. I think it's Lexington. Or it might be Louisville.
Dude.
One of those. I think it's Lexington. But I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll hit you up. I'll shake your hand or something.
Dude, that'll be awesome to get the hang.
Yeah,
that'll
man, awesome. For sure. Hell yeah. So thanks a lot, Howard. Also, guys, check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Check our website out, Google us, and you'll find us. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you all next time. My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take it home.